News. I'm Anne Wynn. The Vatican updating the condition of Pope Francis hospitalized in Rome with a respiratory infection. The church says His Holiness rested well during the night in the hospital. Officials say his clinical picture is progressively improving and that he had breakfast, read some papers, and has been working after receiving communion. Still, no progress on debt ceiling talks in Washington.
The White House continues to put pressure on House Republicans to release a budget plan and show Americans what spending cuts they want to pursue in negotiations with President Biden. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Happy to have a conversation about the budget, but it's been about 6 weeks, and nothing has come to fruition from that side, except excuses.
Jean-Pierre said Republicans voted three times during the Trump administration to raise the debt ceiling without conditions and should do the same now to avoid the government default.
Karen Travers at the White House. An Army helicopter crashed in Kentucky last night. Two choppers down with no word yet on the number of casualties. This is ABC News. Concerns about the rapid advance of artificial intelligence prompting some experts in the field, along with Tesla head Elon Musk and Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, to call for a pause. In a new letter, they're urging companies working on AI to slow down for a few months so new safeguards can be developed.
Critics argue without oversight, AI could spread propaganda and lies and eventually lead to anarchy. But the more immediate concern? Jobs. Goldman Sachs predicts the equivalent of 300 million full-time jobs worldwide could be replaced by artificial intelligence.
That's ABC's Andrea Fucci. Former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has returned to his country after a three-month stay in Florida. He left after losing his bid for re-election and skipped the inauguration of his successor. And rising egg prices have put profits of the country's largest egg producer into overdrive. Palomain Foods reporting a 718% increase in profits in the last quarter. And when ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The cost of Wisconsin State Supreme Court race is now three times the previous national record. A review by WisPolitics.com finds spending on the race adding up to about $45 million. Political insiders say the real price is probably even higher when you figure in online and social media ads that aren't reported to the state and are tough to track. There's an arrest in the case of an anti-abortion group office bombing in Madison last year. Nobody was hurt, but there was a lot of damage. The federal prosecutor's office says a 29-year-old Madison man was arrested at the airport in Boston Tuesday. He was planning to fly to Guatemala. In sports, it's baseball's opening day. The Brewers play the Cubs in Chicago this afternoon. Tonight, the Bucks host Boston in the game with big playoff seeding implications. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Play and win at Old Champion. It consists of rewards club members to earn up to $155 rewards play and $5 to use in Bike Tail Classic or to grab a bike to eat at the Swiftwater Lounge. Guests can start earning points on your rewards club card 7 a.m. through 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. until midnight every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For complete contest rules, see the rewards club booth at Ho Chunk Candy Acusa. Become an off-road warrior with Ho Chunk Candy Acusa now until March 25th. Guests can earn entries for one of the grand prize drawings on February 25th, March 11th, and March 25th. All you need to do is earn 25 points to receive $10 rewards play and an entry up to four times a day. One grand prize winner will make a gift certificate to Power Back Sports and Equipment in Marshfield for Polaris ATV or UTV with six Constellation winners being drawn to win a scooter cooler or up to $500 cash. For complete contest rules and to see the rides in person, visit the Rewards Club booth. Must be 21 or older to participate in the casino floor. Coach Chuck, give me the Acusa, your place to play.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
The election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought by AARP Media Council.
Don't let it bias algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled for alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity Network and the Ad Council.
At least the sun's out.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. You're looking at life through the right lens, man. It's understanding that all is right in the world, and especially all right in the studio, because I am joined once again by Sarah Geenan.
You did it. You did it.
Did I get it right?
You got it perfect.
All right. I mean, if people really knew how long I've been going through this, and I'm going to butcher your name again because...
I told you you're overthinking it.
Yeah. the last time I got it wrong, and I thought I had it right, the pronunciation of it and all those, but I'm not alone.
You're not alone. I respond to a variety of things. Sometimes, okay. You know, way worse than
I'm going to ask you, so you've been married a while. When you first met your prospective husband, did you have trouble pronouncing his last name?
I didn't change it.
Well, so if I would have been your husband, I would have demanded that you change it.
My entire family is used to it, so it's anything from Green to Janine, there's a variety. So
well, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
You are a candidate for District 1, Milwaukee County?
I am the Court of Appeals, District 1, and that district is all of Milwaukee County.
Yeah, now, so let's talk about a little bit about you. Let's talk about your history and what you're doing and how you got caught up in this.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So, I grew up in Pecan. So, for those who are from Wisconsin, most people know that it's somewhere between Appleton and Green Bay. It's not so far up north,
right.
But so it's a different world in many ways for than Milwaukee County,
right.
If we're going to be fair.
No question.
So my dad worked at a paper mill. He was a maintenance mechanic,
right.
Industrial apprentice there. So he was an hourly guy, and
right.
He was involved in his union. My mom worked at another paper company. She did some customer service work, or sometimes was working in the mill as well. So, of course, I had college summer jobs in the mill.
Right.
But I grew up in this environment where it was a pretty close-knit or nosy community.
Yeah, and middle class.
And middle class, very middle class,
right.
And blue collar.
Right.
We got by relatively comfortable, but
right.
we weren't. It's a different world than a lot of the folks I know right now.
Yeah, you're right.
So my dad was the admin of the union, so I grew up in union halls. I like to sometimes joke around that I have quite a fondness for four-letter words. Some of those union halls probably shouldn't admit that, but anyone who knows me is going to be hard-eyed.
Right.
So I saw, you know, in those halls, I saw a lot of people joining together. They were working together to make a difference, to try to offset the imbalance of power. And it struck me kind of at a young age that this is, you know, this is democracy. You know, I suppose it didn't strike me that it's a democracy until later, that this was a way to make a difference. This was a way to have a voice. And it struck me as I got older that this was really just a different kind of democracy. And democracy is something that I've come to champion. You know, a system that works for everybody. A system that has checks and balances so that no one party is too powerful and controls everybody. And it was just, you know, so that is my background. And it led me to my job as a union side labor lawyer. So I work with unions, I represent unions and their members, try to make sure everybody gets paid and everyone comes home safely at the end of every day. I also do some work representing individuals in wage and hour cases where they haven't been paid properly or where they've been discriminated at work. And then having done that, I'm talking a lot, but having done that in Wisconsin for the last 16 years, we've seen a whole lot of legislative changes kind of directed by not necessarily the legislature and not the people, but that keep creeping into our laws and affecting people's ability to have a voice, to have a say, and to affect the system as it was intended, if that makes sense. And that kind of led me to here now, running to become a Court of Appeals judge.
You know, I want to go back, if you don't mind, to Kakana, when your mom and dad, you were a child, kid, in the town, and probably vibrant as any place was when there were paper mills, mm-hmm. and people had middle class jobs, and back then and where it is now, and what happened to the communities, and it's the same thing what happened in the rural communities with the paper mills as it was. With the cities. That's where I worked for 34 years.
Oh, wow.
I retired from there. And so when you look at all of these things, and there's more in common with people in rural Wisconsin as there is in the city. And I always like to try to get people to understand we shouldn't be adversarial. The same thing that happened to the paper mills happened to the cities. And we've got more in common in unions, the loss of unions that was orchestrated and organized to take away the middle class in this country is a battle that I, you know, have always championed and will always champion now because, you know, a kid like me could get out of high school and live a middle class lifestyle and make a lot of money and have a pension and be able to do the things that, you know, right now far too many people can't. And I said all that to say this. You're running for, you know, District 1 and so there is a correlation between what happens in the courts today and the fact that so many people have lost an opportunity in a society. And so you hear people crying and as if people are somehow born to, you know, to do the things that they do. We've got systems that have failed and people wind up doing things that aren't things that we can forgive, but as a society, we've got to have judges and people who can feel that, you know, people who come before them aren't just, you know, pieces of crap, right?
I think it's important that judges have a really broad understanding of the world around them and an understanding of where people come from. Now, the Court of Appeals is a court that corrects errors. It corrects, you know, problems in the lower court's decision or in a jury verdict. But it is important that they have that kind of perspective of that they understand, you know, the blue collar background, that they don't see things from simply one perspective. And right now, we've got a couple of great judges on the bench in District 1. There's four judges. I'll give you a little quick civics lesson on the Court of Appeals, too, if you don't mind. There's four districts. There's in Wisconsin.
Well, we need to know that.
So there's four districts in Wisconsin. Milwaukee County is its own district, and that's District 1. The other three districts are the northern part of the state, the southwestern part of the state, and then southeastern. There's four judges on this bench. Two of them were appointed by Scott Walker. I'm running against one of those judges. We have two other judges who are great judges. But all of the judges on this bench kind of share a common perspective. Three of the four are in their 70s. The other one's in his mid-60s. They all come from a prosecutor-type government organizational-type background, and they've all been judges for over 30 years, or nearly. So it's they don't have a lot of diversity of perspective about the real world around them or real people. And I think it's important that we try to return that to the bench.
You know, I already voted, and yes, I voted for you.
Thank you.
But I couldn't help, as I was looking at the ballot, that once people become judges, there's not a lot of competition.
There isn't.
I mean, the judges are basically there. They run every, 4 years or?
They run 6 years.
Every 6 years. But so it really is important. And I think while we're dealing with all the other people and all the other positions, we need to know more about the people we put on in these branches.
In any bench, any court, I think it's important that we hold our judges accountable. You know, judges are appointed sometimes, and they don't, but they rarely run for re-election with any opposition. And I think it's important that we do hold judges accountable.
And it's the judicial branch, and we always talk about government, but, you know, we forget about that portion of government. You ever notice that?
I do.
I mean, and it's almost as one of the most critical parts of the government is the judicial branch, right?
Right. We've got three branches of the government for a reason. They're supposed to check and balance each other. And if we have the executive appointing judges without any sort of other check on that power, you know, it can be a problem.
Yeah. So we'll come to the phones after the break, so hang on. I just think it's so critically important that we've got to do a better job, especially those of us who are in the airways, to make sure that we get the candidates in as much as we would, you know, the mayoral or gubernatorial or you know, legislature, to bring those people in. We've got to do a better job of understanding what's at stake when people are put on these benches, because they really control.
Yeah, I think it's particularly important. In Milwaukee County, where we've kind of been, mapped out of relevance or mapped out of a way of importance, equal importance when it comes to our legislative districts.
Right. So listen, we've got to go to a break. I'm almost regretting having to say this. I've got Miss Sarah.
There you go.
I got it.
You got it right.
All right. Man, where's the applause, man? Okay. She's the candidate for District 1 bench, and phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I'm happy to have her back in the studio. We'll be right back.
ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but it is issuing this voter information guide for the April 4th state Supreme Court election, so voters can make an informed decision.
The state Supreme Court may rule on Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban. So where do the candidates land on abortion rights? Candidate Dan Kelly made his position clear when he repeatedly compared abortion to taking a life. He even worked for a group trying to ban all abortions here in Wisconsin. and candidate Dan Kelly has been endorsed by the three largest anti-abortion groups in Wisconsin. And what is candidate Janet Protasiewicz's position? She said women should have the right to decide for themselves.
I value a woman's freedom to make her own reproductive health care decisions.
With access to abortion on the line, nowhere the state Supreme Court candidates land. The record is clear. Dan Kelly opposes abortion rights. Janet Protasiewicz supports abortion rights.
Paid for by American Civil Liberties Union Incorporated.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Your short updated forecast today with daytime highs approaching 43, winds out of the south 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely tonight, lows down to about 33, forecast skies. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, high at 47, cloudy skies expected. High of 36, Saturday, with a chance for snow. Chance for scattered showers 48 on Sunday. 2 to 4 inches of snow tonight through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Rick. Right now, it's 16.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
UKRadio.com.
Sarah, I'm confident in that one.
Let's talk about the process of the court, how all of this works, the different levels of it, because I think part of the frustrations that we have is we really feel ignorant
of
how the system works.
Well, I think a lot of people aren't quite sure what the Court of Appeals is. My oldest son had turned 13 a couple weeks ago, so I went over this with a group of 13 or 14 year old boys. So I've got, I think, the speech down about how it works. When you file a lawsuit is filed but let's start with the fact that there's state and federal courts.
Right.
And what we're talking about here is state courts. Federal courts are all 100% appointed, but the state courts are elected in Wisconsin. So if you're filing a lawsuit in the state court, you file it in a county court. So there's Milwaukee County has 50-ish judges. Every county has a judge and a county circuit court. Those counties are then divided into the courts of appeal, the appellate districts. So once the judge makes a decision or if it's a jury case and the jury renders its verdict, if one of the parties to the lawsuit were to, if it's a criminal defendant, if a party is unhappy with the decision, they can appeal. And it doesn't necessarily be, there's a lot of other appeals that can happen during the course of the case. So anytime a judge makes a decision on a significant matter, there can be an appeal throughout the process. And those cases go to the Court of Appeals if you're unhappy. Someone appeals it, they don't like the decision, go to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals has to take all of those appeals and has to consider all of those appeals. Once the appeal is filed in the district that the case started, with a few exceptions for state cases. So you go to trial court, appeal to the Court of Appeals, and then the Court of Appeals makes a decision. If the people aren't happy, the people to a lawsuit or people to a case are unhappy with the Court of Appeals' decision, they can appeal to the Supreme Court, which may or may not take the case. Most cases, I'd say probably 90-95%, end in the Court of Appeals. Now, that's the ordinary process. In the last few years, because of some of the big name cases, the gerrymandering, the other significant cases that we've had have gone straight to they've jumped around. They have not gone through the ordinary process.
So when you talk about the four courts of appeal, do they collectively look at the individual cases and then they vote on what cases are going to be heard?
Right. So if a case starts in Milwaukee County, a case is filed in Milwaukee County, it's going to go to the Court of Appeals in the District 1, so the Milwaukee County Court of Appeals. If a case starts in any of the other districts, if it starts in Allegheny County, for instance, up in Appleton, it's going to go into the appeal will be heard by the district that Allegheny County is in, the appellate district that Allegheny County resides in. I think that's the northern one. If a case starts in Dane County, Madison, it will ordinarily be heard by that district court over there, that's District 4. Where Chris Taylor is running for Court of Appeals on a post right now. But there are some tricky things that they changed that cases against the state that started in Dane County get kicked out to one of the other appellate districts.
So we've got to go to a break, and I'm not going to risk it. My guess is Sarah...
Geenan. It's easier with admitted, right?
Right. She's a candidate for District 1 appellate seat. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
ABC News. I'm Anne Nguyen. The Vatican updating the condition of Pope Francis hospitalized in Rome with a respiratory infection. The church says His Holiness rested well during the night in the hospital. Officials say his clinical picture is progressively improving and that he had breakfast, read some papers, and has been working after receiving communion. Still no progress on debt ceiling talks in Washington.
The White House continues to put pressure on House Republicans to release a budget plan and show Americans what spending cuts they want to pursue in the negotiations with President Biden. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Happy to have a conversation about the budget, but it's been about 6 weeks, and nothing has, nothing has come to fruition from that side, except excuses.
Jean-Pierre said Republicans voted three times during the Trump administration to raise the debt ceiling.
We're looking for more local programming. Check out our website, citymedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Helicopter crash in Kentucky last night. Two choppers down with no more deaths.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Evanair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's prisons have over 1,000 open spots for corrections officers and sergeant positions. In his budget, Governor Evers wants to raise starting base pay for corrections officers from around $20 to $33 an hour. Right now, prison security employees get a temporary $4 per hour bonus on top of their base pay. Part of the proposed salary increase will come from making that hourly bonus permanent. It's unclear, though, if that will happen, as the GOP-led legislature says they'll rewrite the budget entirely over the next few months. Free community COVID-19 testing ends April 15th. Wisconsin's Department of Health Services is announcing the program is winding down. Nearly 3 million tests have been administered since 2021. You can't still get tested at a pharmacy after April 15th, but you're going to have to pay for it. I'm Jane Adair, this is Civic Media News.
Higher when it comes to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
We can't have extremes like Dan Kelly on the court.
Kelly wants an abortion ban, even in cases of rape, incest, and the health of the mother.
Kelly supports Wisconsin's 1849 criminal abortion ban.
That law strips women of our freedom to make our own decisions on abortion.
But that's not all.
Kelly is a MAGA Republican who's been endorsed by Donald Trump himself. Stay with us.
I'll vote for Justice Daniel Kelly. To defend the rule of law.
Extremist Dan Kelly was paid more than $100,000 by the Republican Party in the last 3 years.
He advised hardcore MAGA Republicans on their scheme to overturn the 2020 election results.
On the court, Kelly can take away our voting rights
and women's rights.
Do you want a radical like that on the Supreme Court? Dan Kelly is too extreme.
Dan Kelly is too extreme. He doesn't care about us.
Paid for by Janet for Justice.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together, we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe, but exciting, and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
And cases where people attempt to do what is is almost impossible, and that's getting justice when you're going up against corporations. It's almost like trying to take on the government.
It is. I think that's something that I've got more recent experience with. My background is particularly relevant because I didn't have a lot of experience with lawyers or courts. When I was 16, I got a traffic ticket after getting in a minor car accident. That was entirely my fault. I went to court and I was terrified. And this is a traffic ticket, but I didn't know what to expect. I don't know that I'd met a lawyer. I might have heard of lawyers or something, but I don't know that I met a lawyer or a judge or knew what they really were until I got this traffic ticket.
What did you think you were going to see Judge Judy?
I have no idea. I just don't think a lot of people know. Right. It's this big, solemn monolith. These courts are something that they exist and they're a little terrifying to people who are from outside the system.
Yeah.
And, unless you know or unless you have the money to know that everything's going to be all right, it's a scary experience. And it's a system that's not particularly transparent. And I think that when we're talking about situations where we've got advantages, where we've got maybe a corporation with unlimited resources and individuals, I think it is incredibly important that the court be as transparent as possible so people have faith in the system. They have faith that the courts are working the way they are supposed to. Now, whether or not laws or whatever are the way that people want them is a different story, but we need to make sure that the courts are doing everything they can to respect people's rights and to make sure that what the court is doing is very clear.
So I have to tell you, I get frustrated a lot as I get older when I see things that occur and things that happen. And even though the scale, the proverbial scale is blind and it's supposedly balanced, and then you realize that money, justice is for those who can afford it.
There is a lot of truth to that. There is a lot of truth to that.
So
lawyers are expensive.
So when you see that, and you're an American citizen, and you believe in all of those things that we've been taught, and then you get there and you say, well, it's two separate, systems.
Yeah.
How do you, and it's not, I'm not blaming you or anybody else. It's just the reality. How does the average citizen then reconcile this when we talk about the greatness of our democracy, and we see that mixed in? And I'm like,
That's a big question, Earl.
It is
fundamentally important.
Yeah.
I agree with you that it's fundamentally important that. The system works for everybody, for individuals. And I think some of this goes back to where we've got unlimited money poured into all these political races now, starting in the mid-2000s with, I think, the Citizens United. But, in Wisconsin, it was worsened by the maps in 2011 that have made our votes in Milwaukee County valued less than votes outside of the place where we've got this disjointed legislature, where we've got lack of representation, because one vote, one person and one vote doesn't necessarily equal the same weight in the greater scheme of things. So we've got these bad maps. And then we've got the legislature based on these bad maps making bad laws that affect the entire system. The laws are the laws. But it comes down to recognizing that we've got to vote for everything. We've got to hold everybody accountable. And that's how we start challenging the system, and then the people within the system need to make sure that everybody understands how the system is working.
When, by having you on and explaining just how that entire judicial system works, you just say, maybe we need this kind of education needs to happen more, even when it's not time for people, candidates, and
after
people are running.
Right, after fourth grade, when you've got your mandatory civics lesson.
really, but I had it in fourth grade, but that was 100 years ago.
No, it's absolutely important, right?
But it's more important now for me to know that than it was when I was in fourth grade. Because when you look at things that are happening in society, and you want to see change, and if we really realize the person who can make the corrections is the person that we should be voting for, who we don't even know anything about and what they're doing, right?
Right.
I mean, we've got to figure out a better way. We've got to figure out a better way to get people to understand this. And I think part of that is the role that somebody like myself must play in having people like you on to explain these things. I remember one time I was in a small claims court. Now, I'm a big Judge Judy fan to this day, right?
Right.
And even though that's entertainment, I said, well, small claims, I can go in. And I remember I was renting somebody's property, and it was time for me to move, and they were trying to charge rates, keep my, security deposit. For little scratches, I'd been in place for about 5 years. And somebody said, well, you don't need an attorney for that. It's small claims, you go in. Well, the person had an attorney.
The management company's going to have an attorney, right?
and I'm saying, okay, well, I got common sense on my side. I got truth on my side. And so I'm fine. I'm going to go in and I'm going to tell her that I'm doing really good. But when I got in, and what we may think is common sense in law, right?
No, there's loopholes. There's secret rules. There's, right. And I don't mean secret in some of this.
Right.
There's things that lawyers understand that regular people.
But when the laws are written.
Right. And anyone who is experiencing a situation like that, I think there is a tenant resource center that they should give a call first. They're going to try to do it themselves. But getting back to your other question, part of it is making sure people do know that what resources are available for someone who is suing. There's legal action, and there's some other programs in the state, but you're exactly.
Well, I just picked that out, but all the other issues, and not just something from that perspective, but realizing the way law is written is not sensical to the average person. And you can't think that, and this is why it's so important that we have people who are in those positions and places who we can feel comfortable.
And while you're talking about nonsensical, if anyone who still has their ballot or is still going to vote before, or you're going to vote on Tuesday, you should take a look at the referendum questions in advance. Because the referendum questions are
nonsense.
You're going to need to do some research on it. I think the League of Women Voters has some website information on what the referendums mean, so people can at least be informed and understand what they're voting yes or no to. Because those questions are, they are loopy.
I have never, in all of my, I've been voting since I was 18 years old, never not voted. And I don't care if it's for a school board, I'm voting. But when I got to that part of the ballot, there's about five of them. And I couldn't, and I'm like, I don't even know what this is. What is the purpose of that even? But that's a part of the things we're talking about. That should have never even been on the ballot.
Well, some of them don't have any context either.
Right.
So someone sent me the questions, and I was reading it, and I think someone took taxes the question to me, and I read it, and my lawyer brain was still a little confused.
Right.
So I contacted people, I think there were a couple of bail questions. I contacted people who work in criminal law, and I asked for an explanation. And then I went to the League of Women Voters website. There was a couple of, there was another website, I wish I could remember it, that had another great explanation about what they actually mean and why they're there. So there's, to be informed for those nonsensical questions or nonsensically worded questions.
Right.
It is something I also wanted to make sure people are aware
of. Hey, Tom. How are you doing, Tom from LA?
Hey,
good morning.
First off, we the people, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that.
marriage proposal for the LGBTQ community. And, you thought no meant yes and no meant no, and people were confused. And they, they voted certain ways that made it so, gay marriage wasn't legal back then, before the courts took over. But, yeah, it's really, really important. And my dad taught history for about 35, 40 years in high school. And it wasn't until his last few years, actually, in his teaching, that he decided to go and teach from the present back to the past. He taught world history. And it's probably the best thing, the most fun with it and everything like that, because we know how it is. When we're all younger, we're all saying, why do I need to learn this? Right? And so why do I have to learn all this stuff from the past? Well, now we know why. Because this is what happens when we are not an engaged citizen, and that we end up losing all of our rights. We end up with the multi-billionaires and the billionaire class actually take everything over, and then they just pit it against each other in the middle and the lower class to fight it out with each other. So therefore, we never do what's good for the people. So I guess really and truly, it does come down to education. And it comes down to figuring out a way to actually engage people in education. And I hate to say that it might have to be done through entertainment, but Earl, we were talking the other day, and I'm kind of all over the place, but we were talking the other day about the churches, and I was popped in my head with the Sister Act, how they had no one going into the pews, and all of a sudden, they had all this singing with Goldberg, and everyone was showing up. I mean, there's something about entertainment that's done in the right way, and I think that we have to figure out what that way is so people are learning, and it's fun, and, understanding that, most people don't understand that there's three branches of government and what they mean. They don't understand balance of power. They don't understand money and politics. They don't understand the difference between private and public. I mean, these are just things that are on the surface.
So Tom, do you have a question for...
I think my question basically is, I think what should happen, honestly, because of the fact of what we have in our society, is I think what we should have, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, but when a person runs for office or a person that's in office already, I think they should have a platform. And they should sign something that says this is what they're going to do when they get into office. So they have a scorecard. But then when it comes to actually either running again or whatever, you can look at that scorecard and see if they actually follow.
Hey, Tom, we got to go to break, man. Thank you very much for the call. We'll be right back.
Is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote and tune your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special Ask Us Wisconsin.
At 8, News Director Terry Bell has the results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and Media Council.
Your short updated forecast. Overcast today with daytime highs approaching 43. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely tonight. Most of it now move up 33. Overcast skies. Get up thunderstorms likely tomorrow by 47. Cloudy skies expected. High of 36. Saturday with a chance for snow. Chance for scattered showers 48 on Sunday. 2 to 4 inches of snow tonight through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Brad Miller. Right now, it's 16.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
Radio.com.
We
we are really active and involved in our community. And, you know, I've earned some really tremendous support throughout this campaign. And I am, you know, I'm actually humbled. I'm truly, truly humbled and astounded by the number of organizations that have my back. And not just because of organizations, because these are organizations that represent people, that work to organize people and work to organize and make people's lives better. So we've got Voces de la Frontera, Fair Wisconsin, Block. We've got just tons of really great support grassroots organizations. We've got Wisconsin AFL-CIO. I think I just went online to check before we started because I knew I wasn't going to remember everybody. And I think now there's like over 36 organizations, including Planned Parenthood and some of these other great groups, that work to try to protect people's rights and to make sure that they do have a voice, like we were talking about, to try to address these imbalances that we see in our system.
You know, when you get into campaigning and all of those things, somehow there are sides to these things, conservative, liberal, which there's not supposed to be in any of these instances, right? I mean, when we're talking about Lady Justice, there's never an L or a C for, you know, liberal or conservative.
Right.
But we've gotten there.
We have. And I think a lot of it does come down to how people's views and how people's lives shaped how they interpret the law and how they understand the law. And possibly who supports them when they run for re-election if it's going to come down to that. But, you know, we've done a great job.
Can we get beyond that ever? Well, I don't know if there's ever any turning back.
Well, I think our system was set up to be fair and democratic. And that's always the goal. The goal should always be to ensure a more fair and more democratic process.
But it doesn't mean that it is that.
It is not perfect. Right. It is not perfect. It is an attempt. But that should always be the end goal. It shouldn't be about conservative or progressive or liberal. It should be about making sure that we've got a democratic process and we've got that so that each branch of government serves what they're supposed to.
You know, that, and maybe there always was, you know, Democrat and Republican in it, but I clearly don't remember in the younger years of my life that was so prominent and out in the open as much as it is now.
I don't think it was. I think it changed in the 2000s. Citizens United, where money starts pouring in and money starts having an influence on what democracy means and what justice means, and that was never the intent.
Yeah. Well, so I want to say good luck. You know, I'm happy to have had an opportunity to meet you, and hopefully we can do this again, even whether or not you are victorious or not. I think you're a great person. You got
Thank
a great appeal about you, and so I'd love to have you back on from time to time.
I'd love to be back to talk about anything and everything.
All right, so again, that's Sarah Geenan. Who is a candidate for District 1 of the Court of Appeals in Milwaukee County.
Yeah, if you live in Milwaukee County, I'll be on your ballot.
Yeah, so good luck, and, you know, hopefully when you win, you can come back and say thank you.
I'd love that.
All right. Got to go to a break. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Mr. Clarence Mason Weaver, and boy, you don't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and the Field Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of the Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CD Green Bay.